time to reconsider, he said.
I only want a legal opinion.
You have my clerical opinion.
Yes, Anna said. Blessed are the meek.
She seemed to regret this impudence immediately. A violent blush spread across her face and neck, and she turned away. Suddenly, Devlin wanted nothing more to do with her. He pushed his chair back from the table and placed his hands on his knees.
I will accompany you to the courthouse door and no further, he said. What you do with the document in your possession is no longer my business. Know that I will not lie to protect you. I will certainly not lie in a court of law. If anyone asks, I shall not hesitate to tell them the truth, which is that you forged that signature with your own hand.
All right, said Anna, rising. Thank you very much for the pie and the cordial, and thank you for all that you said to Mrs. Wells.
Devlin rose also.
You oughtn't to thank me for that, he said. I let my temper get the better of me there, I'm afraid. I wasn't at my best.
You were marvellous,
Anna said, and she stepped forward and put her hands on his shoulders and kissed him very nicely on the cheek. By the time Anna Wetherill arrived at the Hokitika courthouse, Aubert Gascoigne had already departed for the Reserve Bank, the envelope from John Hincher Garrity snug in the inside pocket of his jacket. Alistair Lauderback had likewise long since left the building. Anna was received by a red-faced solicitor named Fellows, whom she did not know. He directed her into an alcove at the far side of the hall, where they sat down on either side of a plain deal table. Anna handed him the charred document without a word. The lawyer placed it on the table before him, squaring it with the edge of the desk, and then cupped his hands around his eyes to read it.
"Where did you get this?"
Fellows said at last, looking up.
"It was given to me," Anna said. "Anonymously."
"When?"
"This morning."
"Given how?"
"Someone slipped it under the door,"
Anna lied.
"While Mrs. Wells was down here at the courthouse."
"Down here at the courthouse, receiving the news that her appeal has been revoked at last?"
Fellows said with a sceptical emphasis. He turned back to the document.
"Crosby Wells. And Staines is the fellow whom nobody's heard from, and Miss Wetherill is you."
"Strange.
Any idea who dropped it off?"
"No."
"Or why?"
"No," Anna said. "I suppose someone wanted to do me a good turn."
"Anyone in mind? Care to speculate?"
"No," Anna said. "I only want to know whether it's good."
"It seems all right," said Fellows, peering at it. "But it's not exactly a cash cheque, is it? Not with things being as they are. 8 weeks on and Mr. Staines still missing."
"I don't understand."
"Well, even if this deed is valid, our good friend Mr. Staines no longer has £2,000 to give away. All of his assets have been seized on account of his absence, effective last Friday. He'd be lucky to scrape together a few hundred from what he's got left."
"But the deed is binding," Anna said. "Even so."
The lawyer shook his head.
"What I'm saying to you, my girl, is that our Mr. Staines can't give you £2,000, unless by some miracle he's found alive with a great deal of cash money on his person. His claims have been given over, bought by other men."
"But the deed is binding," Anna said again. "It has to be."
Mr. Fellows smiled.
"I'm afraid the law doesn't quite work that way. Think on this. I could write you a cheque right now for £1,000,000. But that doesn't mean you're £1,000,000 up, does it, if I've nothing in my pocket and nobody to act as my surety? Money always has to come out of someone's pocket, and if everyone's pockets are empty, well, that's that, no matter what anyone might claim."
"Mr. Staines has £2,000,000,
Anna said.
"Yes, well, if he did, that would be a different story."
"No," Anna said. "I'm telling you, Mr. Staines has £2,000,000.
"How's that?"
"The gold in Crosby Wells' cottage belonged to him."
Fellows paused. He stared at her for several seconds, and then in quite a different voice he said, "Can that be proven?" Anna repeated what Devlin had told her that morning, that the gold was found retorted and bearing a signature that identified the origin of the gold.
Which mine?
I can't remember the name, Anna said.
What's your source?
She hesitated. I'd rather not say.
Fellows was looking interested.
We could check the truth of it. The fortune was a component part of Wells' estate, after all, so there should be a record somewhere at the bank. I wonder why it hasn't come up before. Someone at the bank is keeping it back, perhaps.
If it's true, Anna said, that means the fortune's mine, does it not? 2,000 pounds of it belongs to me, by the authority of this piece of paper here.
Miss Wetherill, Fellows said, this kind of money does not change hands so easily. I'm afraid it's never as simple as drawing down a cheque.
But I will say that your coming here today is fortuitously timed. Mrs. Wells' appeal has just been granted, and the share apportioned her is in the process of being released. I can place a hold on her claim very easily while we figure out what to do with this paper of yours.
Yes, Anna said. Will you do that?
If you will consent to take me on as your solicitor, I will do all that I can to help, Fellows said, sitting back. My retainer is £2 weekly with expenses. I charge in advance, of course.
She shook her head. I can't pay you in advance. I don't have any money.
Perhaps you might draw down a loan of some kind, Fellows said delicately, shifting his gaze away. I'm afraid that I'm very strict on all matters of finance. I make no exceptions and take nothing on promise. It's nothing personal. It comes with the training, that's all.
I can't pay you in advance, Anna said again. But if you do this for me, I can pay treble your retainer when the money comes in.
Treble? Fellows smiled gently. Legal processes often take a very long time, Miss Wetherill, and sometimes without results. There is no guarantee that the money would come in at all. Miss Wells' appeal took 2 months to verify, and as you've shown very well, that business is not over yet.
Treble up to a ceiling of £100, Alice said firmly. But if you clear the funds for me within the fortnight, I'll pay you £200 in cash money.
Fellows raised his eyebrows.
Dear me, he said. This is very bold.
It comes with the training, Anna said. But here Anna Wetherill made a misstep. Mr. Fellows' eyes widened, and he shrank away. Why, she was a whore, he thought. And then it all came back to him. This was the very whore who had tried to end her life in the Canieri Road the very day of Stane's disappearance and Wells' death. Fellows was new to Hokitika. He did not know Anna Wetherill by sight, and had not immediately